This is your house. This brick facade, but also this fleshly vessel. Thank you for coming and dwelling inside of us. Thank you for saving our souls and making us whole. Now, Lord, will you speak to us through this your vessel? With these your words and the power of your spirit, that we might be just a little bit better than we came here. In Jesus' name, amen. All right, no, I'm not going to sing that. Hey, what's up, Elder? How you doing, bro?
I'm not.
I don't want to mess the mood up. And I can't sing, but we were just having some fun this morning and we were singing some songs. So we're going to practice on it. We're going to get it. How about that? All right. Sister Vanessa will practice with me and we're going to get that song. Amen. Amen. That's right. But he's going to pray after. Messing me up on him. So I got this thing all painted up in my head. Messing with my mind. I thought I forgot something. Hey, I really do appreciate you all allowing me to get away for a while. I had a lot of time to reflect on a whole lot of things while I was gone. And one of the things that I was actually thinking about, and I'm going to hopefully share it with you over the next probably 8 to 9 weeks. You know how I set things up that I said I want to do a little mini series, and then I wind up doing like a whole year? It works that way sometimes, but this time it should only take about probably 7 to 8 weeks to do it. And what it came about like this is that while I was gone, I was actually asking myself the question. I hope you ask yourself the question every now and then, is that do I really know Jesus? Amen. I mean, do I, because you know, it's important, amen, that you actually know that you know that you know who Jesus is. Because a lot of folks think they know Jesus, amen, and they actually don't know him. And it's interesting because I met Elder Wittenberg up there because he was feeding the T.C. Williams crowd. And we wanted to talk about some things. So I met him up at Hammond Middle School. That's how my mind works. And we were talking. And we were talking about something else. And I know he was about to go out of town. And he was going to go to do a fundraiser and all of that. And he said, and we were talking about something. He said, hey, by the way, do you know Rodney Monroe? And you know, people go, man, that's Rodney Monroe. And see, I'm not one anymore that will fake it because I know him. Uh-uh. Do y'all know Rodney Monroe? So y'all said no to. So y'all don't know me. But sometimes people say, yeah, you know, because you don't think they're going to ask you more about it. See, I got caught that way one time. They were confounded, brother. So I said, no, I don't know him because if you ask another question, I can't answer that. Amen. So it's safe to say, no, I don't know him. Amen. And then he says, you know, it was funny because he said, no, I think you know him. I said, oh, okay. He said, well, he was a chief of police. I said, oh, okay. See, people, you know, you start giving me more to go to, and then I began, my mind started to go somewhere, and I might be able to recall something that used to be called recollect, but now it's recall. Because sometimes I had a birthday while I was gone. I'm getting a little bit older, and I don't remember everything like I used to, amen? And sometimes I just make stuff up. And what he said, Chief, I said, oh, yeah, yeah. I said, yeah, Rodney. You know, and he said, I know you, Bill. I said, yeah, he was the chief down in Richmond. He said, yeah, that's him, you know. And see, Rodney goes way back. Because, see, Rodney was here. He was assistant chief over in D.C. Amen. Sheldon knows him. And so he was assistant chief over in D.C. in 79. And then he worked with the ranks. He became the assistant chief. Up into 2001, and that's when he left D.C. He went down to Macon, Georgia, And he was the first African-American police chief that a man in Georgia. You know, Georgia's rough. And so he was the first one down there. But he had done such a great job down in Georgia doing community police stuff. And so they called him up to Richmond. Because Richmond was rough. That's why I didn't want to go to VCU. But she went there anyway. And so he became the chief of police in Richmond. And he did some great things. And basically, when he was there, he actually hired a good friend of mine, Tanya. Tanya used to be a captain over in Arlington County. And we used to teach DARE together, a class back in the 90s. And so I knew her. And so he chose her as his deputy chief when he got to Richmond. And then he left Richmond and he went to Macon. Charlotte Macklin, down in Virginia. He became the chief down there. So the brother had been chief, you know, he was so good, he'd been chief in a lot of different places. So I said, yeah, you know, I know him. We were going to talk about it because Elder Whitmer said he was going to be at that fundraiser, he was going to be with him, and they were going to get together. And so from all of that, and now you're looking at me, let me ask you all a question. Do I actually know Rodney Monroe? Someone said no. I do know him. Amen. I have an impersonal knowledge about him. Amen. So all those facts I just gave you, I actually know something about him. Got it? But I don't actually know him. Amen. Y'all see where I'm going? Yeah. See, I don't actually know. I have an impersonal knowledge of him, but I don't have a personal knowledge of him. There's no emotional connection there. When Elder Whitmer meets up with him and says, hey, man, you know, Don Hayes says he knows you. He's going to say, who? You know what I'm saying? He was a who? Yeah, what Don? He's in Alexander. He's there for a while. He's acting cheap down there. And he's going to say, maybe. But then Stephen asked me, well, no, really, I don't know that. But he knows you. But yeah, but I don't know him. Y'all know where I'm going with that. And so the key is the fact that not that you know about Jesus. Amen. But do you really know Jesus? Not some facts that you can tell me about him. Amen. Do you have a personal relationship with him where you can actually tell me who he is, and guess what? He actually knows your name. You see where I was going with that song? I don't know who that thing in there. He knows my name. That's the song I'm gonna work on and sing for y'all today. Because see, if he don't know your name, now actually he knows because he's omniscient. He actually knows your name, but he doesn't have a relationship with you. You can find that in Matthew 7. He said, everybody call me Lord, Lord, but not into what? The kingdom of heaven. And y'all can get up there and say, but Lord, I fed folk in your name. I preached in your name. I did all these marvelous things in your name. And the one that you think you know is going to say, depart from me. I never knew you. You don't want to hear that. Amen. And so I believe it's my obligation. I believe it's my duty. I believe it's my responsibility to get you to introduce you to the real Jesus. Amen. So that you don't be fumbling around when you get there and say, well, Lord, come on now. Well done. Amen. Thy good and faithful member of Oakland. Amen. Oh, you're not even going to know the name of Oakland Baptist Church. That doesn't make a difference, does it? No, they're good and faithful servant. And I believe that we have to actually know who Jesus is. Not just knowing about him. We got to get to a point where this is personal. Amen? And you want to get to a point where you can actually say your life depends on it. Amen? Your eternal life depends on you knowing who Jesus is. Not impersonal, but a personal relationship. And so I want to take probably the next 8 or so weeks, so God don't mind, Amen. That we might get to know Jesus. Amen. And I'm going to do this in the book of John. And I'm going to talk about what he talks about. Now, see, today I just kind of want to preference this. You know, I want to kind of get you excited about a little mini series that we're going to be doing, because I believe that in doing this, it will help you understand why you want to get to know Jesus. Amen. And the reason why is because when you really know Jesus, you actually know who God is. Amen.
Amen.
Yeah, and that's very important. Amen. That you don't try to make this thing like, well, there's God and then there's Jesus and then there's the Holy Spirit. That's true, but there are three people or three persons in one. And here's what I mean by that is you can't know one without the other. Amen. Yeah, I know some folks are trying to get to heaven without knowing Jesus. But I know God. Okay, well, that will get you straight to hell. Amen. Because no man comes to the Father but through the, well, y'all can say a lot, through the who? And his name is, not like that. Did y'all talk to me? I'm on a new pastor. Now talk back to me. Amen. And here's the point is I want you to get, and today I just want to kind of preface this whole thing and get you excited. Because you want to be excited about the word of God. Amen.
Amen.
You know what? I'm being honest. I've been gone, but man, I miss being here. And not just preaching, I mean just being in the atmosphere. Amen. Of the worship service and singing songs with you all and hearing I'm with Albert praying and that's my only prayer and just getting back, because it's hard staying away. I'm being honest with you. It was hard. It was really I forced myself. I said no. I came a couple of times. I said no. I gotta kind of really just you know get away and because if I would come here, something I was to get preaching right. See, but no, I don't know how to stay away. Because what happened was I was getting kind of scared. You know what I mean? Because it don't take long to form a habit, huh? Yeah, you wake up on Sunday morning, okay, I gotta go. I might not even get dressed. Come on now. Y'all know what I'm talking about. And y'all folk who retire, I don't know what y'all do. Great, you got every day off. My goodness. Let's get to a point where, you know what? Well, I don't feel like doing it today. Well, I got tomorrow. I'll just do it tomorrow. Man, I might get retired, but if I get like that, I might not do anything. Amen. I digress. Get back to the word of God. Okay. And so what I want to do is I want to kind of give you a picture as to how do we get to this point where I want to get to know Jesus. And what I really want you to do is that I want you to understand the I am God. Amen. Because that's what Jesus says. And that's what we're going to be going through there. He says seven times in the book of John, I am. I want to get into that and I want to talk about that. I want to show you how when you understand what he meant when he says, I am the bread of life. Amen. And how does that reflect on who he is and all that? And how does that have implication into your life? Things like that. So we're going to go over those, but not today. Today I want to show you the I am God in the Old Testament. And then we're going to work over to the book of John. Amen. And so I'm going to just kind of walk through the text. I don't have any particular text on my head, but I'm going to use three things I want you to kind of follow. And the first thing I want you to do is that I want you to understand that God says that I am first, and then Jesus says I am. And then when he gets to a point where he says that I am in the New Testament, he's actually telling you that, yes, but I was also there in the Old Testament. Amen. And that's kind of what he's talking about. And so we have to have a starting point. And so I figured if we're going to have a starting point to get there, why don't we just start in the book of Genesis, where in the beginning, that's what it says, right?
Yeah.
And that's where I want to start. I want to actually start where those three words says, in the beginning. Well, why? Why do I want to start there? Because, see, in order for you to get to where we want to get to, you got to know where it started. Amen? And it started right there. It says, in the beginning. Right? Amen? And so what I want you to even understand that is that the next word says God. Right? Elohim. Right? The majestic one, the plural one. Amen? In the beginning, God. What does that mean? And how does that relate to where I'm going to get to? Well, I'm going to tell you. I'm glad you asked. You see, the first thing you need to understand about the reason why you really want to get to know who Jesus is because he was actually there in the beginning. Amen? And why is that important? Well, it's important because you want to know how everything got started. And we can only go back that far. You know why? Because that doesn't even tell you where it started. Amen? Because even before there was a beginning, there was God. Amen? Yeah. See, the reason why you want to get to know who Jesus is because Jesus was actually here before the beginning. When he says, in the beginning, God, they're just talking about now what God did to get what we have now started. Amen? And in other words, he actually pre-existed before time. Time is irrelevant to God. It doesn't even touch God. God is outside of time and he works inside time to deal with us. Amen? So he's the pre-existing one, and he was here before the beginning. And this is what I want to understand is that the Bible always assumes, never argues, that God has always existed. Amen? The Bible always assumes, by us reading, we don't argue the fact that God has always existed. Everything else, us, all that you see, had to have a beginning. Isn't that amazing? Except God. God has always existed. In other words, God has always been. Amen? He's always been. And here's the point, that's the reason why you need to understand why you want to get to know who Jesus is, because then when you get to know Jesus, you get to know who God is, and God has always existed, and he's always been here, and it should bring comfort to you. Why? Because the one who's always existed will always exist. Amen? Yeah, he will always exist. Why? That's right, this guy says, because that whom has always existed will always exist and be in total control of all that has a beginning through the one who has always been. I'm going to say that again. I had to write that down. I said, okay, let me, and now I'll explain. They said, because that who has always existed will always exist and be in total control. It's like, no, total control of all that had to have a beginning through the one who has always been. Sovereignty. That's what it means. Sovereignty. In other words, he has always been, always will be, and he's in control of all that he created. Amen? Yeah, he's the pre-existing one. And the word, when it says that in the beginning, God created, even that word has meaning. It says the word is the Hebrew verb used only for the divine because humans never create. You know, I didn't say, we ain't very creative, but they're using stuff God already put into place. See, the word created means you actually are making stuff out of nothing. The word was ex nihilo. In other words, when God created, he created everything out of nothing. See, that gives you what? Comfort to understand before you had a problem, he had a solution. Isn't that nice? Why? Because he created everything. He knows what's going to happen. And he knows your name. Because you are his own. I'm going to sing that song. God wants you to understand in the beginning, he created all of this and he is in total control of it. He has not left. He is still in control of everything that happens. He knows what's going to happen. And he has a solution for all things.
Amen.
Amen. Amen. Made me just get excited. I just got excited. So before, yes. In other words, before I can think it, he already got it. He knows my thoughts. Before I even think of, he knows my word before I even say them. He knows my mistake before I even make it.
Amen.
Amen. And he what? He's a way man.
Amen.
Amen. Why? Because he's a creative God. He already took care of all of these things before the beginning of time. It says before the foundation of the world, Jesus already said, I'm coming to save you. Isn't that amazing? Before I was even, before you, before Adam, before Eve, Jesus has already made his mind, I'm going to do what I got to do to make sure y'all stay with me. Come on, man. That's the God you serve. And he is always here. Yes.
Thank you.
We celebrated the Christmas with Emmanuel. What? God. He's always been with us. Always here. And so he is always here. He's always there. And we get to know him through his word. Amen.
Amen.
Yeah, we get to develop that personal relationship, not that impersonal one that we get to hear about. We get to actually know who he is through his word and by his spirit.
Yep.
Amen. And we get to know who God is because God is who he says he is.
Hallelujah.
That's why we get to himself what I am. He is who he says he is. If you want to know who God is, you got to know God's word.
Amen.
Amen. You got to know what God said. You can't just keep this. What else people say? Because people don't know what they're talking about. I've talked to them. I'm telling you, they don't know what they're talking about. Because every time they always come in, well, they'll say, well, look, you can't do this because it's in the Bible. I said, wait. And they have no answer. There's stuff in the Bible they say in the Bible, and I know it's in the Bible. I asked them where. They can't tell me. So I said, where's my name? And they got to believe me. You know why? Because I know. They don't. Because they're trying to confuse you by trying to find loopholes in the Word of God. And I want them to take the time that I can go find it, because here's what I found out, is that they have to take the time to go and read about it. They might get saved.
Amen.
Amen. That's what happened to me. Amen. Y'all think I wanted to get saved all my life? No, I didn't want to get saved. I didn't know what salvation was. Amen. Did not know. Ignorance. Love by ignorance. Was having so much fun about ignorance, you know I was going to die. And go somewhere I didn't want to go. But God. In his mercy. And in his grace. Save me from me. Amen. Yeah, he saved me. You said, what did he say? No, he saved me from me. Amen. And just came into my life. I say, he interrupted my life. Because he had the right to. Why? Because he created all things. Isn't it amazing that when you get to understand who God is and what he actually does, is that when stuff happens in your life, you don't go to the point where you begin to question him? Because you have no right to question the one who created. We are just the what? Clay. He's the potter. See how all those stories start to come together when you know what the beginning is and how he started, and he actually tells you in the Word of God. And when you understand the Word of God and you understand how life is supposed to be, because he is the being that's always been.
Amen.
Yeah, I was going through this and I was said, and I just thought, I said, yo, God is who he says he is. Amen. Now follow me, you're in Genesis, right? Look at verse 3. Verse 3 says, and God said. Verse 6 says, and God said. Verse 9 says, and God said. Verse 11 says, then God said. Verse 14 says, then God said. Verse 20 says, then God said. Verse 24 says, then God said. Verse 25 said, then God said. And then verse 29 says, then God said. And when he said, what did it say? And it was. It is what God says it is, isn't it? And through that, you find out who God is. You find out God's character. through what he said and what he allowed to come about. And so you understand he was the pre-existing one, but what you also understand that he's the powerful one.
Yes, he is.
Right? Pre-existing and powerful. That's a friend I want. Amen. I was knew everything from the beginning, knows how everything's going to end. Amen. I'll get to that in my next week, probably talking about the Alpha and Omega. Amen. Knows about all those types of things, and he says these things and they come to fruition. So he's all powerful. We call that omnipotent. Some people say I like the sound where it's at. Because when I say potent, y'all know what that means. When I say omnipotent, y'all say what? He's potent, he's powerful. Amen. He's pre-existent and he's powerful. Well, how powerful is he? He can speak stuff into existence. Amen. He said, let there be. And there is. Isn't that amazing? You serve that God. And he loves you enough to actually die for you. Gave his life for you. To take care of your sin that you might be his own. And you actually sit up there sometime and you worry about how he will take care of you. Isn't that amazing? That's because you don't know him. Amen. And even when you're going through stuff, because we still go through stuff. I'm going to show you that too in the next couple of weeks when I go through that. You know, we go through stuff. And sometimes you go through more stuff when you know who he is. Amen. Yeah, he because he don't want you to stay where you are. He wants to grow you up. And sometimes you got to put stuff in your life so that you can trust him. And that's how you grow. Amen. Sometimes you grow through pain and stuff. Amen. Job grew exponentially. Right? He did. Through his suffering. And he was a righteous man. Amen. We're going to touch on all of that as we keep it in go through. I'm telling you, you give a brother 2 months to go through the Bible, he can find a lot of stuff in there. Amen. And when I was going through something, and I'm going back through stuff, and I'm saying, well, then he said, and then God said, then God, I just hollering, then God said, then it was, I looked at, I said, good gracious, that's the God we serve. Amen. He just goes on and on and on, and he explains himself. And see, sometimes, like I was telling you about what Rodney Monroe, see, sometimes you get to know by their name, right? Mm-hmm. But sometimes you get to know by their story. And with God, it's about the story. Amen?
Amen.
And in reading the story, you'll find out is that those names they gave God, they gave him those names about what he was actually doing. Amen?
Amen.
Like when Abraham was getting ready to sacrifice Isaac. And he was up there and he was getting ready to, and then he said, I'm calling him what? Jehovah Jireh. He said that, so he gave him the name because he was what? He was a provider. Take care of it. You get to know him through the stories, and you find out that they asked him one time because the story goes on, and I'm going to keep the whole story, I'm going to be short right now. The story goes on that he created all these people, and I'm not going to look the genealogy and all of that. And then he got to a point where he had to literally destroy the people. Remember that he put Noah in an ark, and then Noah got started, and he started all over again. And then he got to the point where they didn't do the right thing. So he said, I'm going to choose a people. So he chose Abraham. And then Abraham had some sons, and then his sons had some sons, and then things went on. And then they got to a point where they were in bondage for like 420 years. And then all of a sudden, a brother with name, a boy by the name of Moses, I gave him a very short story. Y'all following me? I was going to go through all that, but I said, y'all can't handle that right now. Y'all got to work with that. So, but y'all follow me because I know y'all want to watch the Ten Commandments. I'll be somebody. So just remember the movie. And we're at the last part. And in that part, when you read the book of Exodus, somebody actually says, well, they don't ask me, who are you? I know you're the pre-existing one. I know you're the powerful one, but actually, who are you? Y'all remember that in Exodus 3? But turn. I'm going to take my word for it. Because he saw a bush burning, right? Wasn't nothing unusual about that because it was in the desert, right? So the bush was caught on fire all the time out there, right? But there was something about this that it wasn't being consumed. Amen. And then he went over there and he had a little talk. Amen. And he got some challenges. He said, I want you to go back to where you don't want to go back to. And I want you to tell my folk, I hear you. Amen. And then he says, well, I need to understand one thing. Go down into about verse 11. 3:11. It says, but Moses said to God, who am I that I should go to Pharaoh and bring Israelites out of Egypt? And God says, I will be with you. Hallelujah, then your Bible, I'm coming back to it. And this will be the sign to you that it is I who have sent you. When you have brought the people out of Egypt, you will come back and worship me on this mountain. You're on Mount Sinai, Mount Horeb, amen. And Moses said to God, suppose I go to the Israelites, Moses sounded like me, and say to them, the God of your fathers have sent me to you. And they ask me, because you know how church folk are, they're going to ask, what is his name? See that? Then what will I tell them? And then God said to Moses, I am who I am. Amen? I am who I am. God is telling them basically that I am who I am. In other words, I am, the word means to be. Means to be. It means that will do. Amen. In other words, what he was getting them to understand is that he will be known by what he actually does. Amen. And that wasn't actually his name. He's actually just describing his name. Amen. See, Moses asked him who his name is. He didn't even give a name. He says, I am who I am. That's not his name. It's just a description of who he is. Amen. So this is, we'll go read a little further with me. This is what you are to say to the Israelites. I am has sent me to you. I am. Now remember top, I told you verse 12, I told you how I said that I will be with you. That word I will be is the same translation as that word I am. So he said, I will be. I am who I am. Follow me? Look at 15. He says, God also said to Moses, say to the Israelites, the Lord. That's his name. Okay, he's finally giving his name. See, he described his name first, but now he's telling them his name, the Lord. Translation, Yahweh. Mm-hmm. So he said, I'm Yahweh. They wouldn't even, they reference his name, so they wouldn't even say his name in the Old Testament. His name is Yahweh. He says, I am the Lord, the God of your fathers, Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. The one I just skipped over, tell you a whole story about that. Then I figured, when you know the story. He has sent me. This is my name. Got it? Forever, the name by which I am to be remembered from generation to generation. He wanted them to understand that I am what I do. I will be what they need me to be. I am the Lord. So God speaks of himself, and we ought to get to a point where we know him so well that we don't say I am, we say he is. Amen. In our terminology, we ought to know God so well, we ought to be able to say, well, he is. Why? Not because you told me. Because I know him.
Amen.
Amen. Amen. He is. And that will happen when he has preeminence in your life. First place. Amen. He is preeminent. But the question to ask yourself, if you really know him, does he has preeminence in your life. Why? Because if he doesn't, you're contradicting what you're saying about knowing. Because it says, why do you call me Lord, Lord, not do things I tell you to do? See, it all comes together when you actually know God. We can't keep living double lives. Amen. We can't keep saying we're somewhere we're not. We can't keep saying I have a relationship with who I don't have a relationship with. Why? Because I'm not doing what he told me to do, then you just know about him. Amen. You don't really know him. Because if you know him and if he knows you, you are actually doing what he told you to do. Now, not all the time. We all fall short. We all sin, fall short of God. But I'm saying not on a consistent basis. Amen. You have love in your heart now for folks you don't even know. Amen. You're doing stuff that you would have never, I cannot, I'm just telling you, stuff I have never done in my pre-salvific state. Huh? Somebody know what I'm talking about? I can't love folks so much now, I can't help myself. And sometimes it, oh, gotta do it. Amen. And then you find yourself when you don't do it, guess what? You hurt. Yeah. Oh, yeah, it hurts not to do what God told you to do when you have a relationship. But if that stuff doesn't, if you don't grieve the Spirit of God when you do something wrong, guess what? He might not be there. Now, if you can keep doing what you're doing, it'll affect you. Come on now. I'm talking to the church over there. Come on now. We will praise the Lord. We still praise the Lord. Amen. I'm just trying to be real today. I want you to understand that, yeah, he's the pre-existing one. He's the powerful one. But you also need to be the preeminent one in your life. It's got to happen. And when you begin to do that, understand that he is the I am God. He will do and he will be what you need him to be to get you to where he wants you to be. Amen? Amen. Somebody said, won't he do it?
Won't he do it?
Come on now. He will. How do you know? Because you are there. You are not what you used to be. You are a new creation.
Amen.
In Christ. Old things have yet passed away. And behold, all things are coming new day by day. God is still working in our lives. It's a process, amen. We call it what? Sanctification, right? Read 2 Corinthians 3:18 when you get home. It talks about the fact that we are being transformed, amen. Minute by minute. We don't just automatically become who God wants us to be. It's a process. Amen. But that process comes through our relationship with Christ. Staying in his word, praying. And it should be to the point where you get to a point where it says, well, I got to do these things. People say, like, I got to have a quiet time. Why? Yeah, that is a punishment. Right? No, you should just have a time where you just get away with the Lord. It doesn't have to be a special time of day. Sometimes it helps because it gets you a habit going on. But I mean, it ought to be to a point where you actually love God so much, you just want to be with him. Amen. Like, don't just put on your calendar, I got a quiet time from 8 to 9, and you go to your check that or something, I'm gone. And the rest of the day is mine. No, all of the day is his. Amen. Well, he has 3 minutes in your life. Everything you do belongs to him. Right? How you treat folks, how you act, how you on your job, even how you use your time when you're retired. Help me somebody. Right? You don't just dilly-dally around, run around the country, enjoying yourself and not be about nobody else. Gosh, I gave you more time now. I gave you a government retirement so you can keep up on helping somebody. And you're thinking about God all the time. Say, Lord, how am I going to please you today? You have preeminence in my life. Because I trust you. Because I know you are the I am God. And as long as I'm doing it your way, whatever I need, you will supply. So he talks about. When I get into the book of John, we talk about I am the bread of life. I am the light of the world. I am the door. I am the resurrection. I'm going to get into all of those I am. And you're going to begin to see who Jesus really is. And my prayer is that it's going to impact your life. That you won't look at Christ the same way. And you will realize who he really is in your life. And why you want to, it's not something that I want to know. You want to do this. Amen? You get excited about the fact that God wants to use you today. He wants you to do something. And I know we got our day. We should be big time. We got our day time. We got our phone. We got something. We got our stuff listed on our calendar. And every now and then you look at the calendar and something happens. You got to change it. And you don't even mind. Come on. You don't get upset or anything. You should be like, man, I got this. You start talking about, I would, but I no. It's like, I feel the Lord leading that way. And I'm going to do it. I'm just going to do it. Why? Because God is leading me that way. Why? Because he's my God and I'm his child. And I know who he is. And I trust who he is. And I know that all that I do has got to be for his glory. It's got to be. And you, I got to the point where I begin to get into this thing and I looked at my salvation and realized my salvation is not really for me. It's for him. Amen. Yeah, I'm going to benefit from it. I'm going to be with him forever, but it's actually for him. In other words, he did it for him. He didn't do it just for me. Because it's got to be about him. That's what preeminence means. He is has first place in all that I do. I will take to the Colossians scripture. You don't have to believe. Y'all know what I'm talking about. He's there. But the part that I want you to understand is that he ought to be your energy. Amen. He ought to be your reason for waking up in the morning. Amen. He ought to be on your mind at all times. He ought to be your everything. Amen. Y'all know how it used to be when I like to go back when y'all used to date folks that y'all thought y'all loved. Come on now, come on when y'all were younger. Come on now, some of y'all time again. When y'all were younger, you have those things and I tell you what, now this is something I'm gonna look into my little closet and tell y'all stuff about me and Gloria. When we were dating and we were younger and we didn't have cell phones, we had phones. Amen. We had phones. And I would just leave her apartment because the mother would kick me out. I couldn't stay all night, help me somebody. I would get to the base at Andrews, and guess what I would do? Call her up. Hey, what you doing? You getting left? It's 12 o'clock. Hey, so what you gonna do tomorrow? I gotta go to work. Yeah, okay. We go to sleep. Come on, somebody know what I'm talking about. Wake up 3:91. You still there? Hey! I'm not about prayer, I'm not about consume, I'm not about love, helping somebody. But you ought to be that way about Jesus. Come on, now you never left, I just pray again. Oh, I gotta get him, praise him again. Why? He's that good. I love me some Jesus, help me somebody. Can't wait to talk to him again. Jesus, why? Because that's how he feels about you. Yes. Oh, yeah, he came down on Calvary. He went to go to Calvary for you. To die on the cross, to get up on that third day with all power in his hand, just so you would be his forever. That he could love on you more and more, that he could take care of you, that he could provide for you, that he could be your way out of no way, that he could be whatever you need to be, because he's the I am God. And he wants to do those things for you. Why? Because he loves that home. Oh, yeah, he's that kind of God. And I want you to see him for all he is. Amen. I want to open up that window so you can see him with a full focus of, that's how much God loved me. I can't wait to love on you. See, y'all don't see God, right? No, see, when I love on you, I'm loving on God. Y'all get the picture? See, I want to get to the point. We love somebody, each other so much that we are loving on God. And see, when I'm loving on you, God get the glory. See, look, here's the key. I'm almost done. Here's the key. See, here's the key. See, God is saying, guess what? I know you're going to love me because I love you. He said, but show the world that you really love me by loving those who are unlovable. Huh? You know the one that you just get when you look at it, you just make your head and I'm like, oh my goodness, I not again. I gotta be. No, he wants to, y'all want you to love on him. I want you to love on him. Why? Because through that, people will know that you're really my disciples by how you have loved. The Bible goes on to say that. How are you going to say you love God who never seen and hate your brother? Come on now. Right in the scripture. We're going to go through all of that with someone that how much he loves you. And because of that, when you actually know who he is and you begin to love that way, all of a sudden it changes your life. I'm telling y'all what I know. Not what I heard. I'm telling you about a relationship I have with the only one and true and living Savior. I'm telling you what he's done in my life. I'm telling you the fact that I'm telling y'all that, look, I had a good time when I wasn't saved. I didn't have some folks, oh man, I couldn't wait to get saved without the door. I had a good time before I got saved. Help me somebody. But man, I'm telling you, don't compare what I feel like now. Come on now. And do not compare to how I am now in Christ. I'm telling y'all, life has never been better than being in Christ. And knowing who he is, the more I get to know Christ, the better my life is. Amen. And I'm still learning about who Christ is. I've been doing this now for a long time. I was going back to my calendar, and I started looking, and I said, man, we got saved back in the 90s. You know, people in the 90s, the history book, tell me something about that. Amen. It used to be I got to the 90s, like, okay, it was $2. But now it's 2020. It's been a while. Amen. Then I look at my friends, like Brother Calvin, Sister Fran, who they've been doing this for a long time. I did the luck. Come on now. It's just overflowing. Because the blessings you got, the longer you live with Christ, the more. Come on now. That's what I'm talking about. I talked to Tab. Tab was just bubbling over. He said, Rabbi, I'm 91 years old and God still blessed. Come on now. See, when you get older, you understand over there about the grace of God. And he just can't wait. He said, I only got one good eye. He said, I can't wait to get out there. So I'm coming to church. I'm going to bring my truck. I'm going to give out that key love. He just loves loving people. That's the goodness of the Lord. And I want you to experience that. You young folks, don't wait till you get my age. I know I look like I'm 16, but I'm not. Serve him now. Serve him now with your whole heart. And watch the Lord bless your life. Amen? I'm going to have some fun the next 8 weeks teaching us about Jesus. And my hope is that you fall in love with him all over again. Amen. I might see that song too. Fall in love with Jesus. Come on.
Fall in love with Jesus. Fall in love with Jesus.
What
is the best thing I ever done.
Come on, stand up with me. Let's sing.
Give
God some praise. Amen. Amen. Come on, brother. I'm going to pray for us. And then Sam, do you want to lead communion for us? Okay, come on, Alvin. You pray. Sam, do communion. And we're going to close out that.
Thank you, Pastor.